If we want our relationships to become emotionally healthy, which we should want emotionally healthy relationships.
Come on.
But I don't know, when I look out in the world now and I just listen to things, I think, does anybody know what an emotionally healthy relationship is even about anymore? But we want emotionally healthy relationships, and we want spiritually healthy relationships. And we want to find enjoyment in them. We want to find fulfillment in them, not just to tolerate a relationship, which is what I think many of us end up doing over time with some of the people that are in our lives. You know, when you hit a hard spot in a relationship and you hit it over and over and over again, is it not easier to sometimes to just, well, I mean, when you're married, it's sometimes easier to just want to go, whatever, and just kind of try to ignore it, look the other way, you know, pretend it's not happening, just not go there, right? Because there is just not a fun place sometimes.
Are we talking to the right people?
You know, but if you do that over time, and we've all done it over time, what you discover is you're going to pay a big price for it in that relationship. It's going to go south. And, you know, this is the funny thing about God. As we were planning this message series some months ago, well, yeah, after Easter, we'll talk about resurrection. And then we were talking as a group. Someone said, resurrecting relationships. And we all need help in our relationships. Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Awesome.
Marked it on the calendar. And then
life happens.
And we're talking between us. We're just talking about things that we all go through in our relationships. And to tell you the truth, a couple weeks ago as we were approaching, because you have to think about these messages before you just hit the day of them, it was like, I don't really want to do this message series. Do you?
No.
Well, we didn't even have to ask one another. It was like, I knew he didn't want to. I thought, do we really have to do this message series?
Do we have to go there?
I mean, just some full disclosure here, or a little bit of disclosure and honesty. Mm-hmm. Because we struggle sometimes, and we hit walls just like everybody else does in their relationship. And especially with the things that we're going to be talking about in this series. Just learning to be open and vulnerable about ourselves, you know, about our own weaknesses. Just transparent about them, our failures, you know, not pretending everybody's perfect all the time or always just blaming. If it weren't for you, things would be better. And walking in humility.
Yes.
And just being honest about our feelings and honest about some of the hurts that maybe have stayed hidden. And just the need to do what Jesus said to do, repent and forgive. Like Peter said, how many times in a day? Sometimes it feels like 70 times 7, right? He's like, if they ask for forgiveness, then you need to forgive. And so we deal with stuff just like you do. And after 41 years of marriage, this will be year 42.
42 in September.
You know, you do want to think sometimes, haven't we peeled this onion off enough layers, Lord?
There.
Like, haven't we, like, gone around?
Aren't we there
Aren't
yet?
Are we there yet? Yeah, right? Yeah. Can we just take a pass on this? Do we have to keep going deeper?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to stir things up any more than they already are, right? Can we just sort of not
Are we talking to the right people here? Oh,
well, like
my
we said,
gosh.
We had a plan on doing this series, and so, you know, when it's showing up on the calendar, it was like there was no turning back on it. It's like, we're going to do this, and the Lord's going to help us. And it really, it's amazing because it is in his perfect timing, because it did force us to have to open up these things again and start to dig around in these things again.
Right.
And the more that we did, the more that we began to find this mending going on,
yes,
and this, you
the
know,
the better it became.
The little,
more
the reconciliation.
And more. Yes.
And so
the more oneness happened.
And really, to be honest about this, you know, I made a decision early in our ministry life that when we're just called to do ministry together, that I wouldn't get in the pulpit and begin to preach about something. You know, we would minister maybe together about something, tell you something that I haven't tested out in my own life. Right? I mean, it's far easier to get up and tell people, you know, well, here's what the Bible says. You should forgive and walk in love, and no matter how many times, just go out and do it. And then go home and avoid looking at myself and asking myself, well, you know, how am I doing in all this? You know, am I practicing what I preach?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's eye.
Right.
And So we've been working on this stuff for years together, have we not, honey?
It's been difficult. It has been hard. It has brought tears. It has been, at times, silent. But yet, as we moved together and went forward, great things in our relationship have happened.
And it is creating more and more emotional health in our relationship, which carries over into, I mean, and that's what we really want. We want it for not just ourselves. You want it in your own personal life. We want it in the church.
Yes.
You know, then it bleeds over into the workplace, into the neighborhood, and anywhere. We want our relationships to be emotionally healthy. And God's pathway there isn't what we expect, is all I can say.
Right? Can I hear it, amen?
Because it's a path that leads us into more and more honesty.
Yep.
And transparency, and in the long run, weakness, because you're disclosing some things before God and even significant people in your life that would rather go, oh, let's just, you know, not look at that. And so God leads us to these places where, you know, we feel our weakness. And I have to just chuckle because in the corporate world and even in the church leadership world, they're big into, have you ever heard of the Strength Finders, the book Strength Finders? Anybody? Nobody?
That's a book you should read. It's a leadership book.
Well, it's a basically what they're saying is there's a personality test in it, and you discover what your strengths are in your personality, and you use them. That's what you go for. You don't look at your weaknesses. You go lead by your strengths is basically the motto. And so you have to know your strengths, and that's how you go forward. But our kingdom is just the opposite.
It really is.
You know, because Jesus came, he said, for the broken and the weak. He didn't come for the strong and the mighty. And so if we never allow ourselves to feel our brokenness and our weakness, we don't receive much grace from God.
Come on.
And that's what creates the tension in our relationships.
That's a mighty truth that you should just embrace right there.
I mean, because even after we're saved, I mean, this is that, it's just kind of a paradoxical thing, and it's a fine line, because we do become the righteousness of God in Christ, and we're the first to say, read your Bible and identify with who you are and hold your head up, you're worthy.
Yes.
And it's all true. It's just that we can't ever forget our broken side. You know, that we have a lot of broken parts to us. Apart from Christ, we're nothing. And we've come, you know, from salvation into the kingdom of God with a lot of baggage, if you will. And so God's path to wholeness and greatness isn't often what we expect. It is a path of transparency and even identifying in our weakness, not so that we feel like, well, I'm nothing, but God says, I give grace to the humble.
Come on.
And so grace is God's power to change, and grace is what empowers us then to walk with Christ, because Jesus Christ is the humble King. Amen.
Come on.
So we're praying, you know, we've been praying for greater insight and wisdom for ourselves as we go through this, as well as you all, you know, as we touch on the things we're going to touch on in this series.
You know, I think when people look at the church, they might assume that if all of you guys are followers of Christ, then you must have the best relationships ever.
Everybody smirks. Well, maybe we're all working on it,
You know, the truth is that oftentimes the people of the church struggle to experience healthy biblical community with one another. Because, well, we really don't understand that that is actually what God is intending to do in his church. Community in general is really different than biblical community. You know, we have a community, you have a community in your neighborhood. You have a community in at work. You have a community at town, in the town, in our city. We have a community here. Butler. I love Butler. Butler's the pearl of the world. I heard that.
Some need more faith than others.
Yeah, listen, Butler is the pearl of the world. There's great treasure here. Amen. And we're going to find it. We're going to dig it out because Jesus Christ wants it. You know, but community, biblical community, asks more of us than just simply being together. Because being together, he's asking in biblical community, He's asking us to move toward a purpose, move toward an end. And really, that end is to be more Christ-like, and especially in all of our relationships. Be more Christ-like in our relationships. You know, in the Scripture, God has said that Christ has reconciled all things to Himself. All things have been reconciled to God. And so we take that Scripture and we think, yeah, you know, we have the ministry of reconciliation. I've got to tell you the gospel. I need to teach you the gospel. And that then you have this vertical relationship. That's the first step. That is the first step. Because being born again, you become a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of God comes and dwells in you. So now what happens? God has this and you have this connection with God, this vertical connection, but this vertical reconciliation also is meant to go horizontal in your relationships. Thank you, Chris. This is real solid biblical teaching where you're going to become disciples of Jesus. This is maturing of the saints. It has a horizontal effect. It really does. And that is one of the primary ways that you work out your salvation with one another. You rub up against each other. Oh, I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't like you. Well, wait a minute. You've been reconciled, and God is asking you to reconcile. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what we do. He's reconciling, and he means it, all things back to himself.
Yeah.
It's a relationship you have with Jesus. And now it's a relationship you have with his family. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, one day he's reconciled everything back to him. There's going to be one day, there's going to be a new heaven, new earth.
Yeah.
New heaven, new earth. It's pretty awesome. You and I then now, when we're born again, when we get translated out of here, when we get raptured out of here, you're going to not have any carnal thinking anymore.
Hallelujah.
But since we do have carnal thinking now, we have to work on it. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like Pastor Mamie says, you know, we can't go about and just only be interested in our image. We have to go back and be vulnerable, like she says.
I'm like, what did I say?
We have to be vulnerable. We have to look at our weaknesses. We don't have to hide our weaknesses. We show our weaknesses so that Jesus can help us in our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And how Jesus helps us in our weaknesses is through the body of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think we forget that with biblical community. We call it, so let's just call it biblical community, meaning just as we gather together, say in a local church.
Come on.
And instead of walking, you know, through life with maybe a trail, you know, you look back on your life and you think, how are my relationships with people?
Come on.
You know, sometimes they feel fake. They can feel fake. Just be honest. They can seem fractured, broken. But the Bible does say that the world will know us by our love.
Come on.
Right? So we've got to be working on this thing and working on genuinely reconciling with one another. I mean, otherwise the Bible is just the fake message that love isn't the most powerful and can move a mountain. And so we are really to be working genuinely on reconciling with one another and believing that God can resurrect. He can take what seems dead and bring life.
Amen.
That's awesome hope for us. And not just cut things off, you know, when it gets hard.
This is
the easier way to do it. Well, you know. And then sometimes some relationships do need to be cut off if they're dangerous and destructive.
True.
I mean, God's not asking us to do that. But, you know, we've just seen Christians over the years that come to church, have close relatives, parents they've never spoken to in years, siblings they've never spoken to in years, and basically in their heart have just cut them off and not really feel any
that's good.
Not being bothered that they're acting this way, that their relationship is this way. Yeah. And sometimes when you try to enter into a conversation around how does that fit into what the Bible says, people get even more upset. I think we're missing something here. There's a big missing piece here in our understanding of what God's trying to build in his church. He's trying to build a biblical community of people, a temple, you know, where the presence of God dwells and where his love, of course, is known. And so we've got to get past maybe, you know, smiling on the surface and then, I mean, people leave and people do things and they unfriend you on Facebook and write some whatever on some things like that. And I think God sees all this and I'm sure he looks at his church and goes, whoa, you know, we need to put the brakes on here and take a look at how we're treating one another. What do our relationships really look like? And what is God expecting of us as far as reconciliation? Because he is asking us to join him in making things the way they ought to be, like bringing it back to where they ought to be. So building a healthy biblical community means we don't just come together and, you know, get together. We could just sit here together, really, and everybody's an island unto themselves, right? And that's not really what God intends.
Amen.
We're not just to come together and hang out together and then just disperse and be on our own. Because it's tough to come together and then be together, support one another, and love one another. But God is building a temple where his body dwells, and he's building it up in love is really what he's
right.
doing.
Listen, we're all messed up. Every single one of us are messed up.
I mean, in God's end goal, but this is his end goal. You read Ephesians, it says, till we all come in the unity.
Come on.
In love, in one spirit together. And that's spiritual maturity. You know, sometimes people think, well, what is spiritual maturity? Is it because I could recite three chapters of the Bible and not make a mistake? Is that spiritual maturity? The longer that I live and the longer that I walk with God, I realize, man, this love thing is tough.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of maturity, that you don't quit on people when you get offended and when things get tough. And you're looking at yourself honestly and you're going, well, where's my part in this? Am I taking the plank out of my own eye before I'm taking the speck out of somebody else's?
Mm-hmm.
And so learning how to do these things together is tough because we often come into Christ, we haven't learned it in our own family of origin.
Come on.
Right? How to love, how to trust,
how
to forgive, how to talk it out, how to be honest, vulnerable, right? Stand and be loyal and committed even when you feel like, I'd rather just run away right now. But I won't, because that's not what love does. And so, you know, we're here to learn how to be together in a strong, healthy, biblical community. And all of us have to learn some of this stuff to a certain measure. I mean, maybe you'd say, well, I grew up and I had a decent family life and I learned some of this, but I'm sure you didn't learn the whole bigger picture. We all have broken places.
Come on, that's right.
And God's designed it that through the church, really through healthy relationships we're to see modeled in the church, through example and encouragement for people maybe that have gone a little bit before you, have, you know, been tested and tried in these areas and have some kind of testimony about it.
Right.
That it would help build that into other people in the church, other people in the community. So we could help one another and share these things with one another. I mean, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ,
that's
right?
That's right. You know, we're to be a model to one another. I mean, listen, people just come into the church. People just start getting born again. People don't understand Scripture. They don't understand our kingdom. And so those who do understand the kingdom, those who are experienced, those who have walked with Christ, you must be a model.
Yeah.
You must be willing to instruct. You must be willing to say, hey, this is wrong. You know, this is the way to go. Hey, that's toxic. Don't keep doing that. That'll destroy you. Yeah. Let's go this way. Yeah. The kingdom's this right. way. The kingdom shows right. this way.
And right on the other side of that, that needs a reciprocal understanding that this is part of what biblical community is, that if someone speaks something into my life, they're speaking it, of course, in a spirit of love.
Yes.
And the desire is, oh, am I hearing you, Lord, through this person?
Yes.
Are you trying to tell me something through this person who's part of your body? And there's something powerful and beautiful about that when we open up ourselves, because then we all become carriers of Christ and we all are building up the body together in
yes.
love. There's power in it when we're willing yeah. to receive, like, mm-hmm. let's say, the encouragement from somebody saying, do you know that's going to turn out toxic in your life?
Yeah.
Instead of going, what? Oh, who do you think you are telling me how to live?
Right. Or you don't get involved. You back off from it. Well,
you draw
they're
going to
find their
friend.
Own way, I guess. You know, no, we're a biblical community. We're all going the same direction, and that direction is to be conformed to the image of Christ.
Right.
You recognize the presence of God that came here during worship because he loves us. That is the idea. You know, don't be afraid to be an example. Don't back off. We need each other. Listen, nobody has arrived. Nobody has arrived. Every one of us, I keep saying it, you know, we're just a bunch of misfits that God put together. I keep saying that. I'll go back to we didn't want to do this. This meant resurrecting relationships. That means you got to take a look at yourself. How many know yourself? It's tough looking at yourself, isn't it? Come on.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, boy, I know that. Oh, yeah, that's not good. It's like, yeah. And then you feel lousy. Am I talking to you?
Yeah.
But here's the key. You come back to the truth of what the Bible says. You're a child of God.
Right.
You're with your mess ups.
Right.
You're a child of God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. You know, look at on our outline here. God's desire is for his people to live in emotional, healthy, biblical community and bring his resurrection life into our relationships. So we are to be a model for one another. Amen. Helping one another, teaching one another, instructing one another, because we're all striving for the same goal.
Yeah.
So it's emotional, healthy, biblical community.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people draw back, like, I can't be an example. You want my life to be an example, to become an example for somebody? That's too hard.
Yes, we want you to do that.
And some some honestly might just say, I don't even think I want that. I don't want you to look that hard at my life, because what does that mean? But that's really the goal.
Yes.
And it is where God wants to take us. So, you know, to do that, we have to desire to grow past.
That's it.
That's on our outline, to grow past where we are.
Amen.
Amen.
That takes work.
Yeah.
That takes honesty. That takes vulnerability.
Because it's not just looking at the person in the pulpit and going, well, you're the pastors. You all should be the only example in the church of people
Wrong.
Really trying to live this thing out. It's like, no, we're all
right.
in this journey together.
Are
right?
you Christ? Do you yeah. belong to him? Then we need to reflect him.
Yeah. And really, God isn't into the renovation business.
Oh, gosh,
I mean,
this is
what do you
so
do when
true.
You renovate something, like say a house? Yeah, you spruce it up, like you recondition it, you refurbish it, paint it a little bit, touch it up, and resell it, and it's ready to go. But God isn't into the renovation business, okay? He's into the total makeover
Amen.
Business. And it starts whenever we're born again. I mean, you aren't renovated in spirit. You are made new,
Amen.
Brand new spirit on the inside, new creations. Yet it's our soul, because the scripture says we need to have our minds renewed, because in our soul, which is our
yes.
thinking, our perceptions, our will, our emotions,
mm-hmm.
we didn't learn a lot of stuff. We didn't learn much of the way the kingdom operates before we came to Christ. And so we brought emotional baggage with us, how we dealt with things, how we responded, anger issues or insecurities, all of it. You know, we had it in our family origin, let alone the first family.
Come on.
Which would be Adam and Eve.
Right. Listen here. That's it.
Right?
They
were dysfunctional.
Oh, totally.
And we have this funny little video to show you. Take a look at maybe how the first family argument sounded and looked. So let's just take a look at this.
Adam, does this goatskin make me look big?
Looks better on you than the previous owner. What?
I'm having a hard time losing these last few pounds since bearing your children, and that's the best you can do? I look better than a goat? Thanks.
Babe, you know you are the most beautiful woman on the planet. What?
I'm the only woman on the planet.
Well, I can't help that.
You know, and it's amazing that as the only woman on the planet, you still can't seem to remember my birthday or give me flowers once in a while.
Well, I did give you a rib.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, since you haven't mentioned it for an hour. It's like your free pass to never lift a finger for me again.
Never lift a finger? I am out there busting my rear all day. Food just doesn't pop up from the ground. I have to get it with the sweat of my brow, since someone went and got the ground cursed.
You think farming's hard? Try raising those kids. Try giving birth.
Well, if someone wouldn't have taken advice from a talking reptile.
Oh, here we go.
Are you talking to me, little snake? What? Oh, jump off a bridge? Oh, I would, but they haven't been invented yet. Oh, eat this fruit? Well, you look like a pretty trustworthy snake.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, well, we were until you went and pretty much ruined it for all of mankind. So, good job with that.
I seem to remember you taking a bite, too.
Well, I thought I was eating from the tree of the knowledge of restfulness and serenity.
Right. It's never your fault.
Besides, what was I going to do with a fallen wife? That would just be weird.
Oh, you fell for me? You're an idiot.
Idiot? I named every single animal.
Right. Great job with that. A prairie dog's not a dog. A seahorse isn't a horse. And a bald eagle isn't bald.
Well, I was going pretty fast.
Aardvark? Platypus?
Okay, they were at the back of the line. Not everything can be cat or rat or bat.
Hippopotamus?
Yeah, well, woman was taken.
Whoa!
Okay, how many gourds do you have back there? That was a joke. Not good for men to be alone.
No, it's great.
so we can see where it all began to go wrong. It starts in Genesis, and we see the effects of sin. Cain and Abel, Adam's first sons. We see Cain murdering Abel out of jealousy.
Yeah.
Then God speaks to Cain about the consequences of his sin and the punishment for his sin. Cain becomes despondent, and he runs away.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about it, the first family relationships, it was complicated from the beginning and forever altered the harmony,
yes.
you know, and beauty that God intended for relationships. I mean, just after sin entered, in our relationships there's pride, there's miscommunication, there's selfishness, there's resentment
yeah.
that you see.
Jealousy, deception.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but just consider how difficult it would have been for Adam and Eve to have lived after the fall, knowing they didn't lose their memory, knowing what they had. And what they lost as a consequence of sin. And not just kind of knowing it mentally, but feeling it
yeah.
in their emotions.
Right.
I mean, once in paradise, like everything is perfect. beautiful, not only in their surroundings, but I mean, God had given them dominion to enjoy the whole earth and subdue it and use it for God and his glory. They only knew God's life. They only knew God's peace in their surroundings. They knew God's peace like in their relationship with one another. They didn't understand death, what death meant, separation. And now after the rebellion and sin enters in, we just see a whole different, let's take a look at what it says here in Genesis. Starting in verse 16, it said, "Then he," meaning God, "said to the woman, I'll sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain now you're going to give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you."
Read that again.
See, this is what starts it, right?
"And God said to the man, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will scratch, you'll struggle and scratch for a living from it. It will go thorns, thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Then Adam, the man, named his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife."
This was the first sacrifice.
That is the first sacrifice. They had to watch it. They didn't know. They just, those skins just didn't appear. You ever skinned an animal? It's a process. And so Adam and Eve had to watch that.
Death.
Death, yeah. A sacrifice for their sin.
Yeah. So verse 22.
It says this, "Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. And if they reach out and take the fruit from the tree of life and eat it, then they'll live forever." He's meaning they'll live forever in a fallen state.
Yeah.
The tree of life, Jesus Christ, is here to take you from a fallen state into a living, life, a resurrection life.
So verse 23 says, "So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. And after sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden. And he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." And so this is truly paradise lost, you know.
Come on.
I mean, God says it's now thorns and thistles are going to grow up around them. And by the sweat of their brow, you're going to have to toil and work the land. So now work instead of a blessing, because there was work before the fall. Adam and Eve had take dominion meant they had work. So work is actually meant to be a blessing, not a drudgery in our life. But now work would become a hardship after the fall. And I mean, God said even the ground is now under a curse because of you. And so God's basically like saying life now is going to be difficult. It's going to have thorns and thistles. Going to be pain, difficult, frustrating things in work life and even in relationship life.
Don't we all know this?
Yeah. And so instead of fulfillment and the intimacy that comes, you know, from having a good relationship and peace in our relationships, it's going to be marked by power struggles, all the stuff you see, manipulation, put downs, seduction, loneliness.
Right. When you read through the pages of the Bible, you quickly see that God's people, the heroes of the Bible, okay, they're not immune from any of the painful effects of sin. Cain murders Abel out of jealousy because of his offering. After the flood, Noah got drunk, and Ham, his son, makes fun and mocks him as he's naked, laying there drunk. Noah wakes up and curses Ham. Jacob swindles his twin brother out of his birthright, Esau, with the help of his mom. Jacob then now has 12 sons, but boy, he favors only one, Joseph, and everybody knows it. And then the brothers get jealous and throw him in a pit and try to kill him. King Saul, he's jealous of David because David has been anointed as the next king. And so Saul chases him down for years to try to kill him. David finally becomes king. He commits adultery, kills the guy's husband. She's pregnant. The baby dies. Then King David's son, Absalom, rebels against his son, tries to take the kingdom. Then there's Solomon on the throne, supposed to be the smartest guy in the world, and he's got wives all throughout his palace. That would drive me crazy. One's hard enough. Are you kidding me?
Wait, now what are you saying?
I'm saying, thank God I'm not Solomon.
I mean, really, when you look at the lineage of Christ, you realize there's hope for all of us.
Amen.
Because there's so much dysfunction.
That's why we bring this up.
Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing that God just didn't start over. Like, let's just try this thing one more time.
These guys are idiots.
But I mean, great is his mercy.
Amen.
And love and patience towards us, is
Amen.
It not? And so, I mean, this is on our outline. God has a plan to redeem and resurrect the effects of the fall.
Come on.
Especially in our relationships. He's been doing it all down through the generations.
Yeah.
If we will look to him. Mm-hmm. So instead of walking through life with, you know, just dealing with stuff, the whatever, and having these fractured relationships, broken relationships. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. If this is the way it has to be, if we'd be willing to go the way of Christ, because it says in Hebrews that we should strive to be at peace, whatever we can do, whatever depends on us to strive towards making true peace, be a peacemaker, you know, and not let a root of bitterness just grow up on the inside of our heart, because it warns us, it says that root of bitterness, if you let that fester in there, whatever it's coming from, offense or disappointment or whatever, that root of bitterness, it said, will grow up and defile everything. Mm-hmm. It won't just defile the thing you think you're upset about. It starts to work its way and thread its way into every facet of our life. And we don't want that, right?
God doesn't want that.
Right.
This is a biblical community.
Yeah. I mean, God's given us his wisdom. He's given us, you know, his word. There are some essential things that we can do in our relationship that are going to bring the resurrection life back into it. And
Hallelujah.
That's what we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. So we hope you come back and hear some of these essential things. We mentioned a few of them today, but we're going to get into some of that stuff a little bit deeper.
And we're going to tell on ourselves. Just so that
they're going to come back just to hear some stories.
Yeah. Just so that you know that we're real people.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, so we want to have communion today, but before we do,
I want you to bow your heads.
Yeah.
You've experienced Jesus. You know that he loves you and that he is King. He is Lord. There's only one name that you can be saved under, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, well, you met him today. You experienced him today. He's here and he's asking you personally, do you want me? Do you want me?
You know, the story of the Bible is a story of God, first of all, reconciling himself with us, or reconciling us with him, I should say.
Yeah.
Because God sent his son to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin, and which would open the door to eternal life and a real personal relationship with him. So before we take communion today, if there's anybody in here who wonders, have I ever done that? We just want to pause, give you a chance. We'll pray with you a prayer of faith and help you to receive salvation.
If that's you, just simply raise your hand up so I can see it, and then you can put it down. Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before all the angels and the Father.
Anybody? Okay.
He's asking you, come to Jesus.
Right.
anyone.
All right, well, as the ushers...
Okay, now we're going to be taking communion, and the ushers are going to pass out the elements now. If you're not a believer, do not take the communion.
Yeah, just pass it.
Just pass the elements to the next person. This is just strictly for believers. You know, Jesus reconciled all things back to him through his body, through the blood of his sacrifice, all for us on the cross. John.
Oh, we got,
I got it again. And communion was instituted by Christ himself, and it's called the Last Supper. And we're acknowledging that today, right now. And really, it's a time where God is asking us, he's asking us to reflect and recognize his body. Reflect and recognize his body. That means, what did he go through for you? What did Jesus do for you? What happened to him as he was beaten, flogged, mocked, spit on, his beard pulled out, weakened, then he had to carry a cross? He carried that cross to Calvary. They put that cross up after they nailed him to it. We've got to recognize what he did for us. And then when it talks about recognizing the body, do you understand that you are, if you are a believer, you're part of the body of Christ. Now that means now we reconcile and look at each other, because you are the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So we have to reconcile. We have to recognize and reconcile the body of Christ. And we have to, like it says in the Word, during this time we examine our own hearts. Examine our own hearts. Listen, we've all failed. We've all made mistakes. We've all failed in thought, word, and deed against God. We've all doubted him. This is the time that we examine our own hearts. How about our relationships?
Let's look at the scripture. It's up on PowerPoint. It says, that's why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself.
Yes.
So this is actually a powerful time, a wonderful time, to just bow your head before God before we partake of the elements. You know, and have a heart check before God. Like, Lord, have I sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, my deeds? And what about in my relationships, especially the brothers and sisters in Christ? Have I sinned against anybody, Lord? This is the way we can take a moment to be sure we're honoring Jesus and honoring the body.
Yes.
Lord, how do I treat the people that I'm in relationship with? You know, am I proud and defensive with others? Do I get easily offended, angry? Am I afraid to let other people see my weaknesses, Lord? How am I doing, Lord, with forgiveness, acceptance of other people that aren't like me?
How's my love walk, Lord? Do I sit in judgment on others, or am I merciful? Are there parts of my life that I haven't surrendered to you? Am I holding off from you because of fear or doubts or even selfishness?
As you're with your head bowed, I just want to read to you from Psalm 19, verses 12 to 14. It says, you know, Lord, like without your revelation light, how could I detect all the sins and the waywardness lurking in my heart? I need your help, Lord. Lord, it says, forgive my hidden flaws wherever you find them. Let's give God an opportunity to do that as we just confess our sin before him. Verse 13 says, cleanse me, God, and keep me from my secret selfish sins. May they never rule over me, for only then will I be free from fault and remain innocent of rebellion.
Yes.
May the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to just come before you, confess our sin, confess our need, confess our weaknesses.
Yes.
And to remember what you did for us. On the night, Jesus, you were betrayed, you took bread and you broke it. You gave it to your disciples and you told them, this is my body given for you when it's broken, that yours might be made whole. And so let's take that wafer and break it and take it and eat it in remembrance of Christ and his power.
In the same way he took the cup and he said, this is the cup. This is representing my blood given for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yes.
Jesus said, take and drink in remembrance of me, my death, yes, and my soon return.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Father. As in the days ahead, Lord, we give you our life. We give you our relationships.
Yes.
Lord, and we say, do a work in us, Lord. Let your grace empower us to change. And not be afraid to go to these places with you, Jesus, because you love us and you're for us. We worship you, Lord. And I pray a blessing upon this church that you would unite this body, Lord, together in your love, that we would grow, Lord, in unity and love together in a way that's pleasing to you and pleasing in your sight. Jesus, we worship you. In your name we pray.
Amen. And amen.